Welcome, 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 all of you beautiful souls. This is Amana, and this is the Heart of the Soul podcast, where we remember what it means to be wild, human, and alive, connect with one another, learn from one another through story sharing and telling, learning wisdom. Hearing wisdom and knowledge within these stories, just as our ancestors did. I invite you to tap into the ancient history of story sharing with me for a moment and soak in these raw, unaltered stories during a time when so much is manicured and edited beyond recognition. I recently heard this interview where Brené Brown says, language doesn't exist without story and spirit. I've been doing a lot of deep diving into language, story sharing, and spirit. I know that someday I would love to write stories in a later season of my life, but in this moment, I feel deeply pulled to practice speaking them out loud. Today is May 30th, 2022, season two of The Heart of the Soul. I've been in a process in these last 6 months. I feel of like sort of re-envisioning, rebirthing new ideas of what I want this podcast to be in this next season. I've been going through what I feel like is a bit of a metamorphosis of myself, like still I feel like I'm still in this like little bit of a cocoon, not quite ready to spread my wings again. But I've been having these desires to record, to put myself out there, but at the same time, this sense of like, not yet, not yet, not yet. But this new moon morning, I decided that I would record this podcast. I've been thinking about this one for a while. And yeah, I hope you enjoy it. I would love to start some YouTube live like moon movement circles on the full and new moons, but I've been trying to figure out how I can do that with like music rights and things. I don't have a big budget. I'm doing this all on my own. So I'm still gonna work on what possibilities there might be there. We're still in the process of our move. We just were able to, well, acquire our RV. We're going to be picking it up on next Friday, this upcoming Friday. So we'll be moving into the RV this next weekend, which I'm really excited about. Farmers markets started in the last couple of weeks. Now my husband is going to 3 farmers markets locally here in Spokane each week, selling our eco-friendly bath and body products. If you're local there, we're at Fairwood Market, Kendall Yards, and Perry Street's Thursday Market. So come check us out. We're in a green canopy tent. Summer solstice is coming, which is always tender and dear to my soul. Here where I live, it stays light super late. It just is getting lighter, later and later each day. And I'm excited for summer solstice and celebrating. I have been loving lilacs. So a few years ago, I think three or four years ago, I chose a lilac to plant in our yard. I've always loved lilacs and was so excited to have one in our yard. This year it is blooming more than it ever has before, which is making me really happy. A few, like 2 years after I planted the lilac, I learned that lilacs are edible. And I started putting them in my drinking water, which is just a beautiful way to commune with this lovely aromatic plant. It just, the water, the taste changes just a little bit. And each time you go to take a drink, there's this sweet floral aroma. Of course, you want to only take blossoms from a plant that you know hasn't been sprayed with something or isn't right next to a road, things like that. But I did find it sort of interesting that, you know, I planted this lilac and this is the first year that it has a ton of blooms. And of course, we're about to move out of this home, but you know, that's okay. I'm just hopeful that the next people will enjoy it and love it. Yeah, cheers to lilac. I have been feeling sort of my energy rising and building as we move toward this new moon, which is sort of exciting for me. I'm also nearing the start of my bleeding time. So sometimes that wouldn't align. Sometimes I feel less energetic as I near my bleed. So that's feeling nice. I wanted to pull a card here today for you all from this. It's called the Moon Deck, written by Arona Leah and illustrated by Andrea Keh. And this has been my recent favorite deck. Someone else I follow, Danielle Sarank, she has Spirit School and she does Moon Tarot deck pull sometimes, and so I just thought it would be fun to try one myself. So if you're just listening, you might hear me shuffling the cards. If you're watching, you can see, oh yes, message, I'm on call to attend a birth right now, so I can't turn my ringer off on my phone. All right, so for this new moon and these next 2 weeks, I've been pulling from this deck each day. The card that I chose is I surrender to the power of prayer and devotion. Oh, what a beautiful one for me right now. That's something I've been wanting to call in a bit more. And have been putting more intention towards as I've been drawing one of these cards each day. I hope that you are able to bring that into your life in some way, shape, or form. There is something really powerful about having a focus and working towards a goal and devoting yourself to it. That energy, finding that energy within, and then feeling the returns when you do. So there we go. We had my, so today is May 30th, 2022. I think maybe I already said that. But it's my oldest friend's birthday today. Brittany, I love you. Shout out to you. So grateful you're here. We live next door to each other when we were babies on a little lake in Belfair, Washington. And she's still dear to my heart today. I'm so grateful that she is walking this earth at the same time that I am. Yeah, and so May was a big month. Lots of birthdays in my family and friend group in this month. I can't believe it's already over. Something near and dear to my husband and that has become near and dear to me is called Barter Fair. It's out in like the Tenasket area, out in the middle of nowhere where there's no cell phone service, on this beautiful plateau where like the sky is incredibly expansive. And my husband and I actually met on this same land where Conscious Culture Festival was in 2014. So it's also a special place for me and him. And the last couple of years, barter fairs have been canceled. There's normally a spring fair and then a fall fair, and they've been canceled. And this year, a couple of weeks ago, was the first one that happened in 2 years, over 2 years. So we got to go and be with our friends, our family, have no cell phone service. So no one was sitting there staring at their phones, checking their phones, no phones ringing, no text messages. It's this big space with a ton of people camping and vending and lots of children and It was just so lovely to have those days without, like with just such close community with each other and having lots of conversations around the fire, escaping the rain under little canopies and in our tents and just cooking food outside. It really lit something up inside of me. I was so grateful for that time. I also, just before that, on the full moon, I had not planned on having a full moon gathering, because things were just too busy. And then 2 days before the full moon, I've been having, little women's circles at my home. And 2 days before, I was just like, no, you know what? I'm missing my women, and I can make the time and space for this to happen. So I set out and sent out an invite, mostly got responses from people that they couldn't come. But then five women and their children showed up on the full moon with the eclipse, the lunar eclipse that was also happening. We couldn't see the moon during our gathering, but we seriously felt the energy. We sat outside around a fire and held circle and shared stories and laughter and love. And we withstood. It rained on us several different times, but never so long that it drove us inside. We stayed outside with the rain. We did a beautiful practice that was taught to me by Kimberly Ann Johnson, where we had one person is the mover, one person is the mirror, and one person is the witness. And I have done this practice virtually several times, but never in person. And we did it in person, and it was just magnificent. So anyway, I'm feeling really charged up and nourished by my community, by my people, by my family. I'm excited to be making this move. Although I love this home and I'm having a hard time saying goodbye to the home, I'm really excited to say yes to life in an RV for a little bit and on my in-laws' land, where there's just more space between neighbors. I'll definitely show you some videos once we get settled. Watch for those on YouTube. And yeah, I'm just excited for this next journey that we're going through as a family, as a unit. Yeah, and as we walk into summer. All right, so today, the story that I would like to share with you is about my mother line. So I was born to Gail Joyce Laux. She was born to Elsie Frances Laux. Well, it was Lindstrom before. And my grandmother's name was also Elsie Frances. I don't remember her maiden name right now. And I only know the stories this far back, but it feels significant to me. I have been a lover of like birth and babies my whole life and have been really interested in birth stories. And I don't know when I first learned this story, but I'm gonna share what I know, what little I know. And that is that my great grandmother, Elsie Frances, was pregnant at 34 and getting ready to have her first baby, which for that time frame was really a bit older than most would, but she had found her love. Last time I was at my mom's house, she showed me this box with different like little love letters from her husband. And she had like this little note about like what to bring into the hospital. Her womb was swollen. She was getting ready to birth my grandmother. And I was just so excited to be a mom and so happy that her and her husband had created this life together. And what I know is that my great grandmother, died surrounding my grandmother's birth. My mother does not know the story beyond that. She doesn't know if my great grandmother died on the day of my mother's birth, if my grandmother's birthday was also my great grandmother's death day. That I don't know. But yes, so my grandmother came into the world and quite immediately no longer had her birth mother, her mother who she had lived her entire life inside of her womb, and then her mother was gone. Which I can't imagine what that would have felt like as my grandmother being this tiny little being and only knowing her mother's voice from being inside, the movements, the energy. And at this point in time, a single dad wouldn't raise a baby by themselves. My great grandmother had a sister, and so my grandmother was sent to live with her aunt, her mother's sister, which honestly, I feel like that's probably the best, one could ask for at that moment. Her sister loved my great grandmother dearly, and so then she got to be raised. She was raised alongside her cousin, who she, for all intents and purposes, saw as her brother. And my grandmother, super resilient. This is my grandmother on my wedding day, Elsie, that's out on my in-laws' property. I hope you can see that okay, and I hope my voice isn't too weird coming close to the computer. I love her. She's, as you can see, a little bit short. She was under 5 feet. How beautiful. She was, I believe she was 90, over 90 years old in this photo. Yes, so birthing in my mother line. So then my grandmother, Elsie, she gave birth to my mother, actually inside a relative's home. They were my Elsie woke up in labor, and as the story goes, my grandfather was putting on his pants when my mother emerged at the bottom of this big wooden staircase that I actually got to visit when I was older. I wish I had a photo of myself there, but there is this big wooden staircase, and my mother came earthside right there, an unplanned, unassisted birth. They had actually moved into this house to stay for the last weeks of my mother's or of my grandmother's pregnancy so that they would be closer to the hospital so that they would make it there in time. Now, as I reflect, I feel like my mother was probably quite wise and my grandmother as well. I feel grateful that she was birthed unplanned, unassisted, and that she didn't have any of those modern day medical interventions that are really mostly not necessary. They obviously weren't necessary for my mother's birth into the world. As the story goes, my great grandmother or my great grandfather asked my great grandmother to go get some string to tie off the umbilical cord. And she asked what color. So anyway, my mom always told that story with a chuckle. So that was my mother's birth into the world. And she was thriving and beautiful. During this time, doctors told my grandmother that formula was better for babies than breast milk. And so my grandmother formula fed my mother, which I just find this so interesting that the medical entity, I believe that there are beautiful, wonderful people within the medical system, and I understand that and believe that some aspects of it are really needed and necessary with big trauma and other things. But I also just want to encourage people to have critical thinking of their own, and when something doesn't feel right, to question that. My grandmother didn't question that formula was better than her own milk that she created specifically for my mother. Now, you know, what science shows, what doctors say is breastfeeding is better for babies and for the mothers. It actually, breastfeeding, the longer you breastfeed as the woman breastfeeding, your chances of breast cancer decrease, as well as a few other things that I can't quote right now. And we know that breast milk is, you know, perfectly formulated for the baby by the mother, and is better than formula and cow's milk for our babies. Side note though, moving forward, my grandmother had a son before my mother and then two sons after. And then my mother, she birthed me when she was 34 years old. She had already birthed two sons, and I was conceived when my mother was on birth control, hormonal birth control. My parents were not planning to have a third child. And as the story goes, I learned when my parents were getting divorced, my mom shared with me that my dad wanted my mom to have an abortion. So sometimes I, now in this phase in my life, I can reflect onto those energetic feels that I might have had when I was in her womb, that my, you know, the turmoil my mom was probably going through, and that my dad, you know, felt financially like they couldn't support another child, and that wasn't in their plan. He of course now tells me that, you know, he's so glad that I'm here and he loves me and all these things. And I know that and feel that and believe that. And yet I still, you know, had that energy around me when I was first growing in my mom's womb. And my mother birthed my two brothers in a hospital. Both of them she did without an epidural, but definitely in captivity and with medical interventions. With me, she decided that she would have an epidural just to see what it was like. Later, she told me that if she had the chance to do it again, she would have chosen not to have an epidural. And my mother did breastfeed me, which I'm super grateful for, until I was about a year old. And this is me. It says November of 82. So I was just I was born on the 20th of November. So, you know, less than 10 days old. And this is my grandmother, Elsie, with me. So that is my motherline story up until me and my birth. And then I would like to share just a little bit about the birth of my daughter, Charlo. So first I gave birth to Hartley and then Odin and then Charlo. Charlo, I birthed her as a planned, unassisted, family-free birth in our home. And it's so interesting because I have been in the birth world for, you know, professionally for over a decade attending births. And before that, supporting women and babies, was the first babysitter for many different babies, supporting moms and their mothering, people that I worked for, you know, that were 10 years older than me and whatnot, and having babies would call me with questions about their children. Just always had a passion for babies and mothering. And sort of lost where I was going with that. So that's okay. Well, and of course, I didn't write notes here today, so that's all right. So I have just loved birth and babies and was so excited to have my own. And yes, even though I was within the birth world, and even though my mother was born without a medical provider present, I hadn't thought about the possibility that I could birth without a medical provider present. I could birth out of captivity on my own, outside of the industrialized birth world. And then when I did start listening to Free Birth Society, and I remember there was one woman in my life here in Spokane that she spoke of a previous birth that she had had that she had done independently. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, is that legal? Can you do that? Like, all these good girl things came in, this good girl persona, or is that allowed? And now I reflect back and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, this is what we are. Animals, our ancestors did this. Like, deer are allowed to birth on their own. Deer don't have to have a medical provider present. Like, why did I think that I might have to? My grandmother also, I feel like birth support is like in our bones, in our blood. As women, we hold birth and death within our womb. Each womb cycle, each month, we release an egg, a living egg that could, if it were fertilized, become a human baby and human life. And if it's not met with a sperm, that egg dies and is then shed through blood, through our womb. So whether or not you ever conceive a baby, you hold life and death within your womb as a woman, as a bleeding woman. It's such a practice to try and share this way without a back and forth. So my grandmother, I feel like birth and supporting women in birth and labor is just in my bones. She shared with me a few stories throughout the years of being asked to be there while other women in her community were birthing. One of the stories that sticks out the most is that, you know, she was home cooking or something like that, and a neighbor, the husband, came knocking on the door, desperate for her to come over. My grandmother had already birthed a few babies at this time, and this family that lived next door were of a religion where they didn't seek medical care. And this woman was in the middle of her labor and birthing. And I imagine, like most women, and most births that I have attended, part of the process is to come to this moment where you feel like you can't do anymore, that it's not possible, just as baby is about to emerge. And so he was banging on the door because his wife was asking for help and he didn't know what to do. So he came and asked my grandmother, come help. And so she went there, and she describes this woman was, you know, kind of wailing on the bed, and that the baby was born. She did birth her baby, and that my grandmother said that she, as like described and seen, she held the baby by its feet upside down and smacked its butt, and it started crying, and she handed the baby to its mother. And baby was totally fine. The woman was fine, thriving together. And then she said that when the placenta was born, they must have already cut the cord, but she said when this woman birthed her placenta, it just shot off the bed across the room, and part of it, like, or a clot or something, fell into one of those little like a heating duct or vent on the floor. And she was just like, I wonder if they ever like cleaned that up or if the next people like had placenta there still. So anyway, that was just one of the stories she shared. And it's just been in my life here as I'm approaching 40, like in my mid 30s, that as I continue to be called back to this work of serving women in their seasons of pregnancy, birthing, and mothering, that I can't imagine why I tried to do any other sort of work. I became a registered nurse. I got a degree in sociology. I worked as a nurse in different areas. I did already know that I did not want to participate in industrialized hospital births. That wasn't something that I could bear witness to and be a part of. For me personally, I did in those years that I was nursing, I was also a birth assistant to midwives in home birth and birth center births, midwives that I aligned with in many ways. That really supported women and mothers as they birthed. I feel really lucky of the women that I was able to, like the midwives that I was able to witness, and also the women birthing. The first birth that I ever actually saw, it was in Wenatchee, Washington, in the birth center. And the first birth that I was there for as a birth assistant, I was in training. And the woman comes in like from the, you know, car, and she was wearing this skirt, and it was her third or fourth baby. And just, it was just like immediately already like in transition, baby was getting ready to emerge. She got on the bed in all fours and, she still had all her clothes on, just like skirt pulled up, and this baby's head emerges. And just up to the neck, and he already starts crying. Like, he's not even fully born, and yet he's wailing out of his mother. And then the rest of his body is birthed. She rolls over. We hand her baby. And as the midwife is handing her baby is peeing everywhere. It was just like, he was just showing us that he was totally good right from the get-go, like crying, breathing before he's even born, fully born, and then peeing right as we hand him to his mother, peeing on all of us. I feel so grateful that that was my first like in-person witnessing of a birth, because there wasn't, you know, there was no listening to fetal heart tones, none of this medicalized stuff, because there wasn't even any time for that. And that's the thing about birth, is it happens whether or not we check these boxes as they do in the hospital and in industrialized birth system, that, you know, babies are born without this technology. Babies have been born for millions and millions of years, way before we had this kind of technology, these interventions that we now see as so normal and regular and necessary, even though they're absolutely not. Some more lilac water. Well, I feel like maybe this is a good place to stop for today. My husband has a friend coming over to help him. We're getting ready to paint the outside of our home before we sell it. But thank you so much for sharing this time and space today, for soaking in these stories. Thank you for listening, whoever you are. Some of you reach out and some don't. I would love to hear from you. I have my new website is up. It's called Birthing Nova. And I'll put a link here in the show notes. Happy new moon to you. If you are resonating with me and you are, you know, in these seasons of pregnancy, birthing, and mothering, or just wanting to rewild yourself a little more, tap into your femininity, your woman, your womb space, your cycle. If you don't understand your cycle and when you ovulate and when you bleed. I would love to walk alongside you and teach you and share with you what I know. It's my life's deepest passion to support and serve women. I have a free clarity call that's available. If you're not sure, it's a 20-minute virtual call where we can just get to know each other a little bit and feel each other out and see if we can work together in that way of mentoring, coaching, support. And if you'd like to purchase any of our bath and body products, we still have some lavender, healing lavender oil, calendula, St. John's wort. We make beautiful shampoo bars and soaps, a Himalayan salt scrub. Any of these things. I'll put a link to our Etsy as well. And if you love this podcast, it would really help if you leave a rating or review. I would be so grateful. Thank you again. Each listen that and download that I see really encourages me to keep doing this work. I know in these last few months with this move pending and this sort of metamorphosis cocoon I feel like I've been in, I haven't had the energy and space to record this podcast as much, but I'm really feeling the desire and strength to get in the groove with it again. I'd love to hear what you'd like to hear from me. I'd love to do some, have some more interviews and also some more story sharing of my own stories like this episode. Happy and beautiful new moon to you. Blessings and love, love, love to each and every one of you. Remember that you have joy and love within you. I hope that you feel it. I hope that you feel my love to you. And also remember that Mother Earth is there. She's there all the time. She's there at our feet right now. And you can also direct your attention to the earth, to a tree, to a flower. Feel that energy. Draw it. Soak it in. Be nourished by it, and also send your love back to the earth as well. Love, love, love.